I can't go too long because I know we do have a time schedule today of things to be done. Yay. All right. That's only one, yeah. Yeah, I was asked after today, is it okay if some of the folks move in the sanctuary to have more room to sleep? And I said, why not? They sleep on Sundays mornings, you know, sometimes. All right. Today I want to speak briefly on the subject of the man in the cemetery. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 5. In a moment we'll look at the first 20 verses there. There's an old Irish proverb that says, the devil's boots don't creak. In other words, the devil and his minions never announce their arrival. They just sneak in on those who are overconfident and prideful. In fact, the only folks that don't believe the devil exists are those who are already under his influence and control. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus and the apostles, they've just crossed the Sea of Galilee in a little boat. And a storm had suddenly come upon them and they almost drowned. But Jesus, who had been asleep in the back of the boat the whole time, wasn't in a panic. And he just calmly stilled the storm and the wind. And he had shown to the apostles his power over the natural world. And then you come to Mark chapter 5, where Jesus is going to show them that he has power over the supernatural world as well. So let's quickly look at Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. The Bible says, they came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, what business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, do not torment me. For he had been saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he was asking him, what is your name? And he said to him, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, send us into the swine so that we may enter them. Jesus gave them permission. And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Their herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore him to leave their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Father, I ask your blessing upon the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew's gospel in chapter 8 records this same event, and Matthew tells us there were actually two demon-possessed men. Mark's gospel just records the response of the one who wanted to follow Jesus. And you also can read about this same event in the 8th chapter of Luke's gospel. Today I want us to look at a couple of aspects of this story. So, Kirk, go ahead, move, go past the scripture there. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. There we go. The first thing I want you to see is what the devil did with the man. The Bible tells us that Satan and his demons have one goal and purpose regarding each of us. Do you know what that is? It's found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. His goal is to destroy you, to eat you alive, to kill you. And what did the devil do to this man? Well, the devil gave him several things. First of all, the devil gave this man a living death. Think about what this poor demon-possessed man was going through. He was alive physically, but on the inside, he was dead. He had a dead religion. He was possessed. Did you know that 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 tells us that all false religion finds its roots in the doctrines of demons? All false religion has the enemy behind it. So this man had a dead religion. He also had dead dreams. The devil had robbed this man of his future on earth. This man could not look forward to eternity in heaven. There was nothing but misery and agony in this man's future dreams and plans. So he had a dead religion. He had dead dreams. He also had dead hope. And to me, that's the saddest of all of this. As bad as it was for this man, I think one of the worst things he had to deal with was having a dead hope. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in this condition and yet have no hope for the future? No matter how hard this man fought with his own power and his own strength, he was helpless. There was nothing he could do. So the devil had given him a living death. But the devil had also given him a lonely dwelling. Do you see what the Bible says? That this man had left his family and friends behind. And he was living in a cemetery at night. How many of you like to spend time in the cemetery at night? Brother Martin was with me in Israel, and we were walking around the eastern side of the wall of Jerusalem one night. Dave was there too, and one of our brothers with us realized we were walking through a Muslim cemetery in the middle of the night, and it dawned on me. He went, "Oh my goodness, I am in a cemetery at night." And I turned around and I said, "Brother Daniel, it's okay. There's nothing here in the dark that's not here in the daylight." And he said, "Brother, my fear is here in the dark that isn't here in the daylight." So I said, "Touche." I gave him that one. But yeah, can you imagine how bad that would be to live in a cemetery at night? But to compound the matters, this man was suicidal. He was longing for an end. There was a salesman traveling down a country road one time, and he saw a pig standing out in a pig pen, and the pig had a wooden leg. Well, he had never seen anything like that, so he pulled into the farm's driveway and found the farmer, and he said, "I don't want to sell you anything, Dave. I just got to know, what's the deal with the pig with the wooden leg?" And the farmer said, "The pig has a wooden leg because he's special." And the salesman said, "What do you mean?" And the farmer said, "Last year, I was on the other side of that fence, and I was plowing on my tractor, and there was a little bit of an incline, a hill, and I got the tractor a little sideways, and it's top heavy, and it fell over on top of me. And then the thing caught on fire, and I was going to be burned to death because I was trapped under it. That pig looked out of that pen and saw my predicament, and he crashed through the fence and ran out there and grabbed me by my shirt collar, and he pulled me out from under that tractor, and he saved my life." And the salesman went, "Wow, that is amazing. But that still doesn't explain why the pig has a wooden leg." And the farmer said, "Of course it does. That pig is too special to eat all at once." That's the way the devil was doing this man. He was cutting himself and gashing himself. The devil was slowly killing him one piece at a time. The devil was eating him one bite at a time. So this poor guy had left his family. He had lived in a cemetery. He's longing for an end, becoming suicidal. And the devil has given him a legion of demons. And Jesus addressed the demon. "What's your name?" The demon said, "We're legion, for we're many." A legion was a group of Roman soldiers that had 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. There could have been as many as 6,000 demons in this one man. This man was controlled by them. And this man was condemned with them. So he was in a bad shape because of what the devil had done with the man. Kirk, move to the next slide. But let's look at what the people did with the man. What did they do? You see it there in verses 3 and 4? They chained up the man. He had broken the chains, but they had chained him up. Isn't it ironic? The man that needed freedom to be set free was put in chains. And so when the chains didn't work, what did they do? They cast out the man out of society. The man that they needed to reach, what did they do? They rejected him. Let's move to the better part of the story now. Kirk, move to the next slide. Let's look at what Jesus did with the man. Yeah, we've seen what the devil did with him. It wasn't pleasant. We've seen what the people did with him. It wasn't a good thing. Now let's look at what Jesus did with this man. The first thing Jesus did was he cast out the spirits. Where did the spirits go? Into a pig. Ponder on that for a second. Do you realize that to the devil, a pig is just as good as a man? And the devil will turn a man into a pig? The demons drove the pigs to destruction when Jesus cast them out. But Jesus didn't stop with casting out the demons. This is where the miracle happened. It wasn't the casting out of the demons. You know what Jesus did next? He cleansed the sinner. Some people think, you know, well, there's a good God in this world, and he judges people based on how good or bad they are. That's not the way it works. Some people say, well, maybe there's a God, a good God, and they start looking at the devil as a lesser God with a little g, and he's not as powerful as the great God, but he's pretty powerful, and the devil causes us to go into sin. No. Don't give the devil too much credit. The devil has never caused a single person to sin. Do you know that? He never has. He's tempted every one of us, but he's never caused any of us to sin. When we sin, we do so of our own choosing. This man's greatest problem wasn't his demon possession. This man's greatest problem was his sin. And that's what Jesus had come to deal with. Don't make the mistake that this man had made, where he had obviously ignored sin and blamed his situation on the devil. Come to the Savior. And you know what happens? When you do that, what happens is what happened to this man. Jesus clothed the saint. You say, clothed him? Yeah. If you go to Matthew's Gospel, Luke's Gospel, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 27, we're told that this man ran around naked and hadn't worn clothes in a long time. And now he is my goal for every morning. My goal every morning, as I heard John Lanou down in Texas say one time, is to be found clothed, seated and in my right mind at the feet of Jesus. And that's what happened. The Lord put new spiritual clothes on this man. In Revelation chapter 7, we're told of the day when we will be before the throne of God wearing a robe of white, symbolizing the purity and holiness of God that has been given to us in Jesus Christ. Now, let me make application. Oh, it's a wonderful story when we see what Jesus did with the man, but let's make application to what's going on today. Let's look finally at what the man did with Jesus. Man, after being born again, freed and cleaned up by the Lord, we see that this man begged to follow the Master. Kurt, move ahead. He begged to follow the Master. Jesus, let me come with you. Thank you for what you have done for me. Please let me become one of your inner circle 12 apostles. I want to get in the boat with you. I want to sail from this eastern side of the lake, and I want to go across to the west side, and I want to tell people, let me be one of your apostles. And Jesus' response to him was a little bit surprising. Jesus said, no. No. But he didn't leave it at that. This man loved Jesus. This man was loyal to Jesus. This man was going to listen to Jesus. And Jesus says, yeah, I can use you, but not where you think. I'm going to use you where I think. Do you see what he did? This man became the first missionary Jesus ever sent. And where did Jesus send him? The very people that had rejected him, Jesus says, I want you to go reach them. The folks that rejected you. Now you go and tell them simply what I've done for you and what's happened in your life. And the Bible tells us that he went to this region with 10 cities, the Decapolis, and he went there and he shared with the people what Jesus had done for him. How amazed they were. I thank this group that's come a long way to be with us. All the work you've put in already and what's going to come. I'm thankful for you. But I want to challenge you. Missions is not just getting in a bus or a truck or a car or a plane and going somewhere far away. It's every day where you live. Every day. You guys that are with us in Hands of Hope, you're going to pack up and leave very soon. This week will go by. It's amazing how time flies when you're busy, and believe me, you're going to be busy. And this week will be over very soon. Don't stop being a missionary. Folks from Brown Deer Church and Grace Point Church, are you being a missionary right where you are? Are you telling people about the amazing things that the Lord has done for you? Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us an example. Lord, the very first missionary would not fit. If we were to choose the first missionary, Father, we know it wouldn't be this man. But that's why you're God and we're us. You're in charge. And Father, I know that most of us in this room probably don't think of ourselves as missionary. When we think of missionary, our own face doesn't come to mind. But Lord, when you think missionary, our face comes to your mind and to your heart. And so, Father, let us be faithful to share with those what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to have a special prayer of commissioning.